Mondays and Fridays, it's Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny. Johnny, I think you're in Houston.
Yeah, TVJ.
Woo-hoo! I hit the right city. Mike Ditka's in Michigan. Mike, you playing golf?
Yeah, we have a golf tournament for the Gridiron Greats, and we have one of the most beautiful golf courses you'll ever see up in Lost Dunes, up in Bridgman, Michigan. And so we got a nice group here today. We're going to have a good time. We got a beautiful day. It's nice and cool this morning, so we'll see what happens.
Well, how are you striking the ball these days, Mike?
I'm striking the ball like an old man, but that's okay. As long as I can strike it, I don't care.
Hey, so how was that hurricane? Did that affect Bristol this weekend?
Well, I got out of there, John. I was fortunate. I did my show Thursday night, and I was out of there at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday.
I got you.
So I got out of there. Yeah, so they didn't, it was no problem at that time.
Ooh, I tell you what, you hear these reports, Mike and John, and you know, it's like, okay, here it comes. They're doing their job. They're trying to predict these things, which are really impossible to do. And then when it doesn't explode everything, everybody's really mad that there wasn't more blood. It's an interesting sociological phenomena.
Well, you expect the worst, huh?
Yeah, well, there was so much criticism after Katrina, you know, and this and that. So I think, you know, if you're forewarned, and I think, you know, the governors in New Jersey, New York did a great job. They told the people, hey, listen, you know, you don't do stupid things. Now, there's still, you got 24 people dead, you know, and people just don't want to believe that it's going to be as bad as it could be. And I think that's what happens.
Well, the National Hurricane Center is a little defensive this morning, saying people assume we can predict everything. I thought it was, you know, they were doing the best they could with what they knew, but stuff changes. This thing shifts. I mean, Johnny, the story at Katrina 6 years ago today was the flooding the day after when it was bright sunshine and calm in the city.
Well, the hurricane missed New Orleans, Steve. We had a levee problem and then couldn't manage it. But the storm, actually the hurricane tracking and the predictions were really right on. They were going to hit North Carolina hard and then track right along the coast and not kind of dying out as it hit New York. Exactly what happened. Then it's just a matter of, you know, the local officials have to decide, well, what should we do? And they picked the parts of the city that were most susceptible to real problems. If the water was a little higher, the surge was a little higher, lasted a little longer. So I thought it was pretty well managed. And people will be complaining either way. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're not going to make everybody happy there. One thing about that part of the world, Mike, there's no levee. So if when water gets in, it goes right back out. And that's a big help. It's that standing water that eats you alive.
Yeah, exactly. You hit it right on the button about New Orleans and the difference. Hey, but you know what? Listen, forewarned and you don't heed it. That's your fault. Now, if it's not as bad as people think, you know, that's just a shame. I'm sorry that these people take that approach. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I thought they did a great job in the state of New York and the city of New York trying to warn people and try to get them in a protected situation.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have been warned more. The 24 deaths, I don't know who they were, but I know two of them were in a raft. Okay?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that? I mean, how do you stop stuff like that?
Well, and sometimes, too, these kind of flash floods, and you just get swept away. It's just terrible, and there's just nothing. You know, if you're wrong place, wrong time sometimes, and you do everything you can so that people are much more on the lookout for exactly that. But, hey, it's bad weather. And these storms, we've had some storms throughout the country this year, and it's been interesting. I'll tell you, it's just a shame when anyone loses their life in a storm, and I guess it's part of what we got in life, huh, Mike?
Well, you don't want to ever hear that happening, but you know, and sometimes people really don't pay attention, John, and that's a shame because you know, nature, Mother Nature is so, you know, unpredictable. You can't really understand the power of what happens, you know, a storm or lightning or things like that, and people say, well, it's never going to hit me, and it probably never will. Until it does.
No. Exactly. Ron Paul this morning, Johnny, says, is FEMA the real disaster? Ron Paul, a candidate for president of the Republican side, is calling out FEMA, thinks we should get rid of the Federal Emergency Disaster Agency, Management Agency.
Well, I don't know if I get rid of it. It's so bloated, just like every other, you know, ongoing federal program or agency. There's no way to slim down or restructure. In private industry, the same exact thing happens. It's human nature. But they, you know, you start losing money, and it's like, we got to do something, and there's a restructuring and slim things down and become efficient. That doesn't happen in government. FEMA's overbloated, overspends, overdone, slow, bureaucratic. I don't know about getting rid of them, but I certainly think they could be restructured. You could probably save. Shoot, I'll bet you could save several $1 billion a year. There's one place they can look. Not by cutting it out, by just working on it and admitting they're not efficient.
Yeah. All right, Katrina, as I mentioned, New Orleans 6 years ago today, is New Orleans doing anything? Or they observe stuff like this? How do they do
it? You know, that's a good question. We were just there this weekend, and there wasn't a whole lot. There were some people don't want to observe anything. They just want to forget about it.
Yeah.
And then there's always people that want to remember that. And look, the city's doing well, and I think we're better off than we were before the storm at this point. I think we can say that. And I think a lot to be thankful for. Somebody was having a thank you Katrina party, which was all the things that happened that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the storm that were good things. So,
Have they rebuilt the Ninth Ward, or is that still going to
Well, no, they haven't done a whole lot of rebuilding there. It's really low, and they're looking at not rebuilding that much below sea level in spots. And to rebuild, you'd have to put 20 or 30 feet of fill in some places.
Wow.
So it's like not a whole lot of rebuilding there.
Like a cereal bowl, as you often reference, it's just a low point. All right, Mike, politically, hearing any buzz on the golf course? Are people talking about Rick Perry, Barack Obama? What do you hear?
Well, right now, you really don't. I think people are kind of fed up with government, period. I mean, I'm not going to blame it on Barack Obama or Democrats or Republicans or anybody else. I think in our country, we've gone the wrong way. I mean, we've got so caught up in special interest in parties, forgetting about ruling America the way it was supposed to be ruled. The people are what count. And I know you can't do everything for everybody. I mean, everybody knows that. But my God, we're in some of this, common sense has got to prevail. And I don't see a lot of common sense. And I think that's what bothers people.
Well, you know, Steve, Rick Perry jumped into something like a Gallup poll lead of 29-18
10-12
over
points,
Romney, and that might be just that kind of initial love affair. But it also could be a viable indication that he's going to be a real player here. I think obviously he is.
You take Texas, you know, and evidently Governor Perry had done a great job in Texas. They talked about job growth and the stability in the state. But the first thing that comes out is you got a media that comes out and says, well, the job situation in Texas is not all it's cut out to be and this and that. Well, maybe it's not, but it's a hell of a lot better than anywhere else in the country. So, I mean, you know, you can always find things, you know, like I say, critics are a dime a dozen, you know. It's not the critic that counts. It's the man who's in the arena, you know, who has to make the call. And so, you know, we have all these critics that are going to find anything wrong with what Perry has done in Texas, and they're going to try to magnify that. And that's wrong. Look at what he's done and try to magnify that. Look at the good and the positive instead of taking a negative approach on everything.
And Texas is doing very, very well, and it's a good state, and we have 50 good ones. But Rick Perry's been a good governor, and I think he has a chance. You also hear, Mike, that, oh, it's another Bush. We just had a Texas guy. Bush is Bush.
Yeah.
So I don't think that'll hurt him, though, because it's going to be between 4 more years of Obama and maybe another guy from Texas. So.
I don't know if I could pick another Illinois guy. Come on.
And not to get too awfully party affiliated here, but can you glean something from the fact that Texas has been Republican run for a while and states like Illinois haven't?
Well, I think it's been more of a mix. They've had Democratic governors. Ann Richards was a Democratic governor, but she's a moderate in some ways. But no, there's been less of a one party control. I think that's probably where you get in trouble when you have one party. I think the Democrats have basically controlled Illinois for half a century. So
yeah, and in Chicago, Mike, they want to do these casinos. You think they'll get that on?
Well, you know, Chicago's made a great mistake. I mean, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. You know, when they presented the deal to build a casino in Navy Pier, And their demands were so outrageous that they don't understand that all that money is going to go into the states of Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, anywhere surrounding Chicago. Now, if they don't understand that, then they don't understand anything. To put a casino in Chicago right now, a major casino, say to do it somewhere around the Navy Pier area, you would have probably one of the top grossing casinos in America. In saying that, why they don't do it, I don't know. Because greed is a terrible sin. You can't have more. If you're going to go into business with people in that business, who that is their business, they make money at it, you got to give them a chance to make a profit too. The state will do terrific, believe me. And the community of Chicago will do terrific. But if they don't understand that, then I can't help them.
So they're making too many demands on the casino in terms of the cut and the deal?
They wanted 45% off the top. You can't make money.
Wow.
The original deal. Like that, and it's wrong. You can't do that. You can't hold up the people who that is their business, and they're going to put a lot of money into that by building the place, by doing all the things they're going to do, and it's going to enhance the city in many ways because it's going to bring more tourists to the city. It's going to bring more tax money to the city. It's going to do a lot of things positively, but then again, you don't look at it that way if you're greedy.
Amazing. 45% off the top, Johnny. That's a
big... That's a little rough for a business. And you can't compete as a casino. You won't be able to give out enough winnings, Mike's right. They'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is a lot of people are just against gambling in general and don't want to open that up. That's the other component to the casino part of it. But it sounds like the deal thing. And of course, the government, as your partner, is always a little iffy. You do want to give them something off the top. But probably not 45%.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Are you ready for some football? College football kicks off this weekend. Isn't that great?
Well, I tell you what, Illinois, we're looking for a good year, Stevie J.
Well, we haven't gone to two bowl games in a row in a long, long time. With 8 home games, we're hopeful. Mike, does the stuff that happened at Columbus, does the stuff that happened at Miami, does it taint the way we look at college football these days?
Well, I think it's just a fact of life. It's happened in a lot of places. It happened in Miami. It happened at Ohio State. It happened a little bit at LSU. It's happened everywhere. I mean, my God, these kids are, you know, and I'm not defending the kids, believe me. You know, when you understand that when you get a chance to go to college on an athletic scholarship, that's what it is. It's an athletic scholarship. It says, I'm going to give you an education. That education over a period of 4 years is worth over $100,000 probably. So all of a sudden when you say, I get in college, well, I don't have any money. Well, get a job. Get a job in the summer and work. Get a job when you're not playing football and work. And that's exactly what I did when I went to college. I had a job every summer. That money I saved, that money got me through college, and that was my spending money.
Makes sense to me.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
I got to say, wait a minute. You're asking these guys to do stuff for themselves? Whoa, hold on here. What are you doing? Everything's given to them. I mean, they're wonderful since they were three. I mean, the hype and stuff that goes with this, recruiting stuff with a freshman in high school, Mike, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's a whole different thing right now. And Stevie, it's completely different than it was 50-some years ago. I understand that. But still, you can't say, well, he doesn't have any. Well, get a job. There's jobs out there in the summer. I was a lifeguard. I worked for the borough. I mean, I shoveled dirt. I did everything. I mean, I cleaned up. I picked up papers. I, you know, trash. Whatever you got to do, you do. It's not too hard. But these guys think they're above that now because of these.
Well, I'll tell you, too, they may not have any cash, spending cash at any given time, but what they do have is anything you would ever need.
Yeah.
Now, look, they got anything they need.
Yeah.
They're well taken care of. It's great for the guys, and there are some rules that go with getting something, you know, just like a job. It's like, okay, we'll give you an education, and you're on our football team, and here's some of the things you have to abide by. That's not unreasonable. So just follow the rules. I mean, there sometimes you have to.
We're going to take our short break, but I got to say, Mike, that image of you diving off your lifeguard chair to rescue me is a little scary.
I was in a lake. Well, if I would have dove off the life, I would have landed in about 2 feet of water.
Okay. Well, I tell you one thing. If you'd have come out to get me, I know you'd have get me. It might not have felt good, but you'd have grabbed my body. I know that. I mean, I tell you, Mike Ditka, lifeguard. I never knew that about you. That's a good one.
He would have saved you, buddy.
No question about it. He'd have taken me and saved me. I'm confident of that. All right, 7:48. We're going to come right back with Mike Ditka. And Brother Johnny, with our final segment in just a moment, the number one tennis player in the world is doing something different that I think is going to become the rage. We'll talk about that coming up next. This Novak Djokovic is the number one tennis player in the world, and he's sitting in an egg that is at altitude. It's unbelievable. It helps him restore his muscles quicker. I'll tell you about it next.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Bruce Vail. Here's a potentially good sign for the economic recovery. A new Commerce Department report shows Americans boosted their spending much more than expected in July. Spending rose by 0.8%, while the personal savings rate slowed, an indication that people are feeling a bit more confident in the economy. Personal income was up 0.3% as wages and salaries grew. Wells Fargo economist Mark Vitner says the report was a nice surprise.
It's certainly a bit of improvement after some very disappointing numbers. In the past 3 months, we had seen very weak consumer spending numbers. The income numbers have been faltering a little bit. Today's data show a little bit of a rebound.
The spending increase was the largest in 5 months. Companies to keep an eye on today include Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer. The drug makers said a blood thinner they are jointly developing significantly outperformed warfarin in a major stroke prevention study. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Back with Mike and Johnny, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Mike Ditka at the Gridiron Great Golf Tournament in Michigan. He helps former NFL players that did not get the good deal that the players are getting today and have not been supported in the way they should be. And doing that, and Mike always helpful with the Gridiron Greats. And Brother Johnny in Houston this morning. All right, by the way, the Saints win last night, exhibition 40-20. A week from Thursday, we kick it off at Lambeau Field, Green Bay, and New Orleans, which is really going to be fun.
Well, I'll tell you, the Saints offense looks great. Yeah. And I think they're a good football team. You don't want to get too overhyped. But, yeah, Mike, I was going to ask you, it looks like that Greg Williams teaches this strip the ball thing, and I think that's really costing us a lot of missed tackles. It's a happy medium, I guess. You can give up some first downs if you can get a turnover, but we've been getting them at touchdowns because they keep going for the ball and not tackling. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. He does teach that. There's no question about it. But I think if you're going to teach that, the best way to do it is put your head on the football. In other words, tackle your head on the football. That's a better way of dislodging it. But they do reach and grab a lot. But, the Saints are a very good team. This ought to be a great football game. The Saints, Packers, opening day. I mean, the Packers, we know, are good. They're the world champions. I watched the Saints for a while the other night, and I thought Ingram brings a new dimension to them. I think he gives them some real toughness in the running game that they didn't have with Bush. And I think that he's going to be a big factor for them. It's going to set up a lot of play-action passing threes. So I like the Saints. I like everything they're doing. And then again, when you open against the world champions, not going to be easy.
Yeah.
What about the modern day? Now, Mike, you played in person. You've seen these great running backs through the years. What about the modern day NFL running back? They seem like some sort of Superman to me. How do you tackle something like that? Somebody like that? It's amazing, these
big,
guys.
Strong,
and can you tell any difference from these 2011 runners? Since you had some great ones through the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Gale Sayers and Tony Dorsett, and those guys are great running backs. They're all in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there were so many of them. But, John, you make a good point. And maybe the art of tackling isn't taught the way it should be, but you've got to strike and wrap up. If you just try to knock these guys off their feet, they're so big and strong and they got such great balance, you're not going to do it. You got to wrap up and you got to bring them to the ground. And I think that's the thing. I say, honestly, the one thing, you cannot practice tackling in pro football. You can't take the chance of getting guys hurt. So if people don't have good fundamentals, they're not going to do it well.
And especially with these guys now, you don't have very much of a chance to get these guys. And if you make one mistake or you're half a second or quarter of a second late and grabbing the right thing, he's gone.
Yeah, they're big and strong, and it's amazing. Amazing. All right, final thing. I wanted to talk about this Novak Djokovic, Mike and John. This is the number one tennis player in the world, and he's doing something a little bit differently. He's sitting in one of these egg-shaped pods, and the company says you spend 20 minutes in the pod 3 times a week. It boosts your athletic performance. It improves circulation, boosting oxygen-rich blood cells. Apparently, the recovery time is better. It simulates altitude. And they're able to, the guy says, I can recover quicker. Isn't that what all athletes need, is to recover quicker?
Well, there's no question about that. And this guy is a phenomenal athlete. By the way, guys, he's a phenomenal athlete and a great tennis player. So I don't care if he sits in a pod or Volkswagen. He's pretty good.
But the pod, what does it do? Put well, more oxygen in your blood? What, yeah. What's the pod do, Steve?
It apparently does. It uses a computer-controlled valve and vacuum pump to simulate high altitude, compressing the muscles at rhythmic intervals. It boosts oxygen-rich red blood cells, removing lactic acid and possibly even stimulating mitochondrial biogenesis and stem cell production. I mean, if other guys see this guy go from wherever he was to number one, I think there are going to be a lot of the athletes that can afford a $75,000 egg-shaped pod to maybe help their body recover, because it's about recovery.
Well, Mike, I could use some recovery time after lunch. I might have to get that.
How about that?
I agree. See, what you're saying is true, but don't forget now. The recovery time is what? This guy's a talent. He's a big, tall, strong guy.
Right, right.
You know, there's another reason that he's so good. He's winning because he's good. All that stuff I agree with. Maybe that's good. Maybe the recovery thing is good. Maybe the pot is terrific. Maybe it pumps oxygen in your butt. I don't know. But I'm just saying, what? You can't get a tennis ball.
Don't expect to go start beating everybody in tennis just if you sit in the egg.
So I can't sit in the pot and beat anybody at golf, right?
I think you can beat me.
Yeah, hey, Mike, hope you have a great golf outing up in Michigan. You're doing a great job. The Gridiron Greats, you're helping a lot of guys that need it.
Well, we have a great day for it. We have a nice crowd here today, and we'll raise some money, and this is a good thing. Not only that, it'll be a fun day for everybody. You guys don't know, this golf course maybe is one of the best and prettiest I've ever seen.
The What's green. The name of it up
where,
there,
where,
Mike?
Where are you?
Oh, Lost Dunes. We're in Bridgman, Michigan, which is about, it took us about an hour and 15 minutes from downtown Chicago.
Not bad.
And it's
wow.
Built on the sand dunes, and it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if I tell you how beautiful it is, I mean, it's just absolutely phenomenal. My partner in the restaurant business owns it, so it's pretty special, and we're looking forward to a great day.
Does it look like Whistling Straits at all?
A little bit, yes, but I think it's even prettier than Whistling Straits.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Well, listen, thanks again for joining me, and Johnny, you as well, in Houston. Always appreciate you guys. We'll talk again Friday.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Mike. See
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. This morning, Johnny in Houston, Mike up at golf tournament in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Gridiron Greats group that supports essentially
the
really
tired football players.
Well, worn down and
okay.
Struggling with no money.
Okay.
Guys that really sad stories, living in cars and have really Alzheimer's and they don't have any support, not
okay.
Like they should, and they're the guys that made the league.
Yep.
And for the NFL to not go back and say, all right, how many guys are there? They're worried about false claims and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is guys are dying homeless. And they were the guys that built it in the 50s, 60s, having all kinds of health problems. Gridiron Greats, a big deal for Mike. He's been involved in that since its inception. Spoke before Congress talking about the great needs of these former football players. Back in just a moment. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.